You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, the Ottawa Senators ripped 5 goals in the first period ahead of their 6-2 defeat over the Buffalo Sabres in what was an embarrassing effort in front of the home crowd on Wednesday evening here in Buffalo. The Sabres' playoff chances now sit below 1%. The dream has been dead for a bit now, since, as we talked about in our last episode, but this really was what felt like the final nail in the coffin for what has just been an incredibly underwhelming season. Jack Quinn made his return to the lineup after missing 8 weeks due to injury, and it was great to have him back, but it was really all for nothing, and I think it's probably fair to question whether it was even worthwhile bringing him back in the first place. That being said, Taylor, 6-2 loss, just an embarrassing effort. UPL gets pulled in the first period. Devin Levi comes in. Sabres get it within to 5-2 after the end of the second period. Ottawa scores in the third, 6-2 final. Just a shit game, man. It sucks. And I just am getting no joy out of watching this team. And it's very, very sad that we're at that point. What were your thoughts on this game? What are your thoughts on the Sabres as a whole right now? And just let those frustrations out, man.
I thought it was just another big middle finger to the paying fans, people that invest the most time and money into the Buffalo Sabres. And we all know, Brendan, you have tickets to the Sabres, not full season tickets, but I think have. It's not cheap to go to a Sabres game. It takes up time too, especially on a weekday. And a weekday going to a Sabres game means, from wherever you live, it means basically if you're working a 9-to-5, going right home from work and then to the Sabres, or maybe directly to the Sabres game and not getting home till after 10, it's a big time commitment on a weekday, and it's a big money commitment. And for 2 straight years now, the Sabres have played like shit at home. I know that they played like shit at home before then too, but they were kind of bad those years. These past 2 seasons have been befuddling in that way. They had a worse record at home than on the road last year, and it looks like they're going to do that again this year. They're 1 game below .500 at home and 1 above on the road, which is frustrating. Fans have to wonder why they can't see the best performances at home. And not only do they not see the best ones, they see total awful bullshit performances like this where they give up 5 goals to Ottawa in less than 10 minutes. Ottawa, who, by the way, is the only team really keeping the Sabres from being the biggest disappointment in the NHL. That's how bad the team is. You just got yammed on by And that just kills me how expensive it is to go to these games, how tickets are outrageous, even now when they're pretty much out of it. How you want to have, I don't know, the hot dog of the game and it costs like 17 friggin' dollars. You want to have a 16 ounce Bud Light and that costs $13. And then there's a tip option for some reason. Like, this is absurd. Like, it's so much. And the Sabres have been so bad. There's a stat. I wish I had the exact stat with me, but the Sabres have been shut out for the first 30 minutes of like almost half their home games. So the fans haven't just watched them lose. They've watched them play these bad, boring games that just feels profoundly not worth showing up for. And I don't really know what to say about this performance, but this last night was the first time I really started to think about the previous failed rebuild and how early on that started to look. Like, there was these games in 2016-17 that were just really like, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this again, especially late in that season. And I'm not going to make a direct comparison because the Sabres are already more talented and younger than that team was. But I think when you're looking at that season in particular, there was kind of a thing at the end of that season where I started to get nervous because we were pretty happy with the rebuild through 15-16. And then signing Oposo and going into 16-17. And the beginning of that season is a total disaster. Eichel gets hurt the day before the season. Evander Kane gets hurt early. I think Oposo missed time early too. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, we have no depth. There are so many AHLers on this team. Even when everyone was healthy, that roster was not great. It's like, why the hell did Derek Grant make the team? Just a lot of concerning stuff. And that's on top of Ristolainen being relied upon to be number one defenseman, even in his probably best season to that point. It was not great. But that team was not a total disaster because the power play kind of surprisingly was number one. And goaltending was, they were like sixth in save percentage in the league, partly because Robin Lehner had his best season as a Saber, and partly because Anders Nilsson was just a dynamite backup. So spell that out as shit that cannot last. They were not going to have the number one power play again. And then it made me so nervous that whole offseason. Like, man, they had both of those things going for them. They were under a point a game. And lo and behold, the next year they were the worst team in the league. When those advantages started to disappear. And I started to think about that, like, wow, the Sabres were got worse this year. They're going to be probably in the neighborhood of 10 points worse than last year. With UPL playing as well as he has, he's probably not gonna again. Now there's a lot of areas where you can see more clear areas the Sabres can improve, but it started to get me worried. And this is leads me to my question for you. Do you think there is a non-hockey problem with this team? So, or a problem that goes beyond hockey? Leadership, locker room, that type of thing.
Yes, 1,000,000%. And you could really look at just about every level. So let's go through. I mean, in terms of the locker room itself, I think there's of course going to be a leadership hole now with Opozo being gone. Semgus Girgensons will seemingly be gone in the offseason, and everybody, I think including us, has kind of assumed that Rasmus Dahlin is going to be the one that's going to step into this the and into the captaincy and into being the leader of that room. And this isn't getting caught up in the moment or anything, but I just think you can there's a few things you can look at to I think at least feel some level of concern. That's not like a knock against Dahlin right off the bat, but I think that it's completely fair to feel some level of worry about that. This roster now, next year, it's even though, we're going to be a year older, it still is going to be even younger due to the fact that Opozo's gone and Girgensons is going to be gone. And then Jeff Skinner is going to be, what, 31 and will be the oldest guy on the team. You don't
31's actually not
have.
old.
You don't have anybody in the room, quite literally anybody in the room that is a substantial piece that has led a team, I guess, on that level or has had a leadership role in that way. You can look at Alex Tuch as a guy that he has the qualities of a leader and he has playoff experience, albeit limited. But when he was with Vegas making those playoffs, making the playoffs, he wasn't like the guy or the leader that they were looking to. And when it comes down to it, I mean, we saw with Eichel, and you again, that's why I'm kind of introducing every or like prefacing this stuff and throwing like the caveats in, because it's like with Eichel, it was very clear that he wasn't ready. And now obviously Dahlin is at a very different point in his career, as was the case with Eichel, but it was very clear though that back then
you probably should have made Ryan O'Reilly the captain for a number of reasons, that would have been the right move. And that this all isn't to say that Dahlin can't do it, but I think that it's absolutely fair to have some questions about that. I mean, we've even seen this year too, like stuff like where he'll, you know, slam a stick on the ice or be visibly upset, not in a way where it's like a guy's getting fired up and feeding off of it, but where he's letting his emotions get the best of him. Then you move into the coaching staff, and I think it's more than fair to question the level of accountability that Don Granato has when it comes to the players and in the room. I mean, there's, you know, you can even look at it aside from the, you know, the leadership aspect of it in terms of like the rah-rah, let's go get them boys kind of stuff. I'm even saying like you can question the leadership and the fact that tactically this guy is not sound. His strategies and his ability to adapt with this roster has not nearly been to the level that it needs to be. We've talked about it at length, how this team is, I don't know about much, but they're definitely better than what their record is and their point total right now and what their point total is going to end up being at the end of the season. They are a better team than that. As we said last episode, it's not like they should be some Stanley Cup contender, but they should firmly be in the conversation much more than they are right now. So there's your question right there when it comes to that. And that extends obviously to the assistant coaches as well. It's not just Granato. I think that it's worthwhile to clean house entirely there.
So I'm talking about with the guys on the ice, is there a problem, a non-hockey problem? And the reason I ask is because I think outside of Buffalo, the season I referenced earlier, the 2017-18 season, when they were suddenly the worst team in the league again, despite having the guys that they had, I think there was a lot of people. It was easy in the hockey world to just be like, yep, those bozos suck. But look at that roster now. I'm looking at it right now. It had Jack Eichel, year three Jack Eichel, whatever you want to think about that. Draft plus four version of Sam Reinhart and the, you know, prime version of Ryan O'Reilly. There was also Evander Kane, played 61 games that year. Oposo was not, this was post-concussion. But so Posa was not great, not terrible. And then you still Pominville, though. He was, you know, not great at that point. But you guys that were ended up being useful role players, like Evan Rodriguez and Marco Scandella, Johan Larson, Gergensen's as a fourth liner, Jake McCabe's ended up being pretty good. Nathan Boyeu's still around. Casey Mittelstadt barely played that year. I'm not going to count him. He came in at the end of the season. Zach Bogosian, who barely played that year because of injury. But then you also had Robin Leonard in net. A lot of those guys ended up being very useful other places. Two of those guys have won cups. Robin Leonard was a Vezina finalist. Sam Reinhart has 50 goals this year. You heard me go through those guys. That's not really a last place team. I know they all weren't in the same place in their career at that point. But at the time when people were just kind of like, yeah, this team just sucks, I didn't agree. And again, I think you could also look at that with another last place team in 2021. And that one's an easy one to explain. At least the way we think of it is Ralph Kruger. 2017-18, I'm not going to say Phil Housley was a good coach, obviously. And that was a roster that didn't have a lot of depth, had to play a lot of shitty players, a lot of Jordan Nolan minutes. And Robin Leonard just didn't have a good year. But there's too much going on there. And I kind of feel like that with this team. There are too many different guys. This is not a bad team. This is not a roster that should be this bad. I really believe that. Even with the injuries. Even with guys playing not up to their potential. Like, this roster should not be as bad as it is. And it makes me wonder, like, what do you do? Because generally, when you talk about that, I guess you talk about culture. You could lay out right now the Sabres roster versus the Bruins. The Bruins roster is better. Is it better by that much? Honestly, with Bergeron gone, their fucking number one center is Pavel Zacha. They might win the President's Trophy. Their goaltending is good. The Sabres goaltending is good. McAvoy, Lindholm, Pastrnak and Marchand are all really good. Who else is really good on the Bruins outside of those four?
That's John Beecher, Erasure, bro.
Exactly.
Morgan Geeky, come on.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. James Van Riemsdyk, Kevin Shattenkirk. These are guys they have around. And I think there's an organizational culture that makes it hard for the Bruins to ever be bad and also apparently hard for them to ever advance out of the second round. But that's just one example of teams being able to bounce back. I know, and that's partly coaching. We've said it a million times. If they're not going to fire Don Granato, I don't know what the hell they're doing. But, man, it's to me, there's something going on there. And it's been going on for a long time, but they kind of overachieved last year, and I don't think that was just a percentages thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I truly am just left speechless by the ineptitude. They should not be this bad. Like, that is what should be the resounding takeaway from this season, is that it was a missed opportunity and this team is not as bad as their record and points total indicates. And you can absolutely look at some of the off the ice stuff when it comes to leadership as a reason for that. Again, it's in the locker room. It's the coaching staff, I think, is just such a key part of why this step back has happened. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's very fair for anybody to be worried about a new leadership group coming into place here, because whoever it is, again, barring that they by some miracle actually do make the right move and go out and get somebody of substance. But either way, like, it's very fair to assume that the only thing that this new leadership group is going to know is losing and is not making the playoffs, not being able to get over the hump. And I truly am just experiencing so much disbelief over these past few months over the fact that we talked about this earlier in the year, or maybe end of 2023, just the fact that very understandably, you know, you go back a couple of years prior to them hiring Ralph Krueger, that the idea for everybody was, okay, like, let's get ahead of the curve here. Let's get the next up and coming head coach, or let's get the mind that's ahead of the game a little bit. Who is like the next forward thinker coming through the ranks that we can end up bringing in? Rickard Gronberg was a big one. There was a couple of college coaches that I know we had talked about and had talked through, had a couple of interviews with folks. Some of our media pals would come on and given us more insight, because we were really into this idea of maybe, you know, getting a little bit younger with the coaching staff and innovative. Same could be said for the front office too. You know, I think that's what made the hires of, even though this is a little bit after the fact now, like the hires of like Sam Ventura and Jason Carmano so exciting. It's the fact that it was these kind of forward thinking folks, who, you know, felt like making that addition was going to put us ahead of the curve a little bit. And while I think that that's still the case when it comes to the front office and wanting that kind of a guy, I can't help but find the humor in the fact that you and I both now are, please, for the love of God, go hire a retread. Go hire an experienced coach. Go hire a guy that, sure, maybe they haven't been able to get over the hump and win a ton of cups or anything like that. But hey, if they make the playoffs and know how to get you there and know how to whip these guys into shape, then that's what you need. There's just been so many errors along the way that it's led to us being like, please go hire one of the guys that's had five other jobs over the past 20 years, instead of wanting to have this like, oh, let's get ahead of the curve and get the up and comer, because that's what this team needs. They need somebody that's going to hold them accountable. They need somebody that knows how to navigate an 82 game season and get you over the hump and get you into the playoffs, get you through the dog days of January and February, and be able to position you to firmly be in this race. Or it's embarrassing for us that we're even saying firmly be in the race. Get somebody that's going to firmly have you in a playoff spot this time next year. And Granato just does not have the juice. This leadership group does not have the juice. And I think that what will be, to tie all of this together, I think that you need that kind of a coach if you are going to entrust the future of this team. And let's just say it's Rasmus Dahlin, Dylan Cousins, and Alex Tuch. I think they all have shown throughout various points of their careers that they have leadership qualities, that they could be capable leaders. But I don't have faith in any of them when the people above them lack the leadership qualities that I want to see from the guys on the ice. So I need somebody who has that experience, who's able to be a mentor for Dahlin and for Cousins and for Tuck, who's been through it, who knows how to make the playoffs, who knows how to get you there. And the Sabres cannot afford to hire another coach or sit on their hands with their current coach when can't afford to hire somebody. And it's the same way with Granato now, who has not been there, who doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the longevity of a career to feel confident in that they know what they're doing here. You know, you look at some of the best teams in the league right now, and all of their hires
are retreads.
I don't know. I can't for the life of me envision this team with Don Granato behind the bench next year, even though I know that it's a damn good possibility that that does happen. I can't stomach it, because that it's more than just the strategy. It's more than the tactics. It's more than the power play being a mess. It translates to the leadership group. All of the shit, I mean, we've barely even talked about it, but like the saluting the fans shit that's been going on. The fact that this is even like a thing in the first place is such a sign of just a lack of clear leadership within that room. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Being on one side or the other, whether it's right or wrong, but the fact that it's a conversation like this. I mean, come on. Where's the accountability within this room that this is even a thing, and that the players felt like they were, and I know Alex Tuch made some fair points on the Elliot Friedman thing, but from like what we've heard about it and how it's been talked about, that the players felt slighted by the fact that they were getting booed. And wasn't also it partially after like the Columbus game? Like, give me
part of the deal. It's part of the deal.
Break.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I mean, that's part of the deal. That's, you make the millions of dollars. You're the professional athlete. You get all the glory if you win, and you take the booze if you lose. That's a good deal. You still get paid the same when you lose. That's all you have to do. Is some people will get mad about it, but you should already be mad at yourself.
Yep.
This isn't what there's situations where I think people boo and it's like, that's a little unfair.
Right.
This is not really one of those situations.
Totally. You know what I want the response to be? You're right. The fans have every right to be upset about that. That was an embarrassing effort, and we need to be better. Like, you know, I can't get behind people chanting for our coach to be fired because that's our guy, but they have every right to be upset. We have the longest playoff drought in the history of the sport. This team hasn't been able to get over the hump, and we haven't been able to show up in the big moments when we need to, and we need to hold ourselves accountable in the same way that the fans are holding us accountable. You give that answer, that's who I want as a captain. Yeah. That's what I want to see in a captain, not boo-hoo, like, woe is me. My hockey team sucks. Be better.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Do you want to hear a word from our sponsor before we go on?
Oh, I would love to.
Folks, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So, for example, the Sabres are playing Friday and Saturday. They're playing the Devils and then the Leafs, which Brendan will be there for. In those games, you want to bet on the money line, the puck line, different individual scores, things like that, prop bets. You can do that all by downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age vary by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility, deposit restriction, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. All right, so here's another thought that's kind of I've been thinking a lot about. It seems pretty clear Jeff Skinner's past his prime now.
Yeah.
At least past his peak. He might still be useful. I don't know. We're saying this. He'll probably get another 4-goal game or something like that.
Yeah, right.
But what do you think of the idea when they're switching up lines next year, moving Paterka up versus trading for and or making another move for a top six guy forward-wise?
I think both should happen, if we're being honest. I think Paterka on the first line makes a lot of sense. I think he's earned that with his play this year. If I'm being honest, I think that had Jack Quinn played this full year, I think that we'd be talking about him in the exact same way too, of like, oh, could this be, you know, the future of the first line, which I think it very well could be. But I think both need to happen. Like I said, Paterka's very much, I think, earned the right to get that look, and he looked good. He looked like he belonged there, I should probably more appropriately say. And yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to Skinner, like, obviously, you know, you would love for him to be producing how he was last year with his salary cap hit, but that's not who he is now. It seems like the decline is happening. Maybe you get a new coach in and that kind of helps a little bit, or gives him a jolt, or is able to, you know, get his numbers back up a bit. But I feel like it makes sense that if you were to move him down, maybe he's then in a second or third line role, depending on who his center ends up being. Again, I still would like to see him get a shot with Dylan Cousins potentially. I think that could be interesting for them to get like an actual extended look with each other, just to see if it works. And if not, maybe it's a third line role is what he's better suited for. But I don't think that Paterka moving up to the first line should preclude you from going out and making a big addition to the forward group, because I think you like desperately need that. Desperately, desperately need that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think I could easily see next year Tage, Tuck, Paterka first line, a second line of Cousins, Quinn, and Skinner, which would be interesting.
Or even Benson, that, maybe.
Oh, Benson, yeah. Kind of makes me think that they might not acquire a big forward. But we'll see. I mean, I guess we'll see who's available. It does make me wonder what kind of moves there's going to be in the offseason. Like, there probably should be some level of breaking up those first two lines, like adding some, like you're adding someone, whether it's, I don't know, a center or I don't know, a scoring winger or whatever you're going to add, someone that's worth playing in the top six. I don't hate that. I don't hate the idea of having like a really good third line that is Benson and maybe Kulik, who knows, playing on it. I think that's a really good idea. And you know, there's obviously a lot of guys that can be moved up and down. And like we just mentioned, all the first-round picks that the Sabres have. Like, we don't even talk about when we have these conversations. What if Oslin, Savoy, or Rosen's good enough to be in the NHL next year? I don't even know what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have space for that. Because I don't know what they're going to do for the fourth line. I would not be surprised if they brought back Gus. Wouldn't even be mad. But I kind of wonder generally what else you do. Like, what happens with Peyton Krebs? I don't know. There's a lot of questions going into this.
Much more questions than answers. One question. Yeah. I have two questions for you. One, they're both real. The first one is less real. What team do you think that we should switch our podcast to be focused on when they end up picking in the first round this year and they don't make any trades? Who do you think would be a good team for us to switch and be straight up? Something else. Straight up Seattle.
The Knicks, baby. Not Seattle. Good. I'd rather cheer for anyone than Seattle.
I was talking about the Supersonics.
Oh, the new Sonics that are coming back?
Oh,
that is something that might be worth getting into. I can't really stay up West Coast time as much these days.
Let's get on the ground floor, Taylor. We're moving out west.
Yeah, if we got a podcast that was popular enough, I could quit my job and then I could just stay up super late and watch new Sonics games. I'm excited for that. New Sonics. It's really cool the NBA has to copy the NHL's expansion plan. Good job, Gary Bettman. You finally got one over on your old employer.
Woo-hoo. But
yeah, I think, we can make a list of who I would never start a new podcast with.
Give me your bottom five that you would never do it with. And I'll give you mine.
Well, the Blackhawks, I never want to talk about them.
Fair.
And I think they're going to suck for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You should never do this as a rookie year. This is totally alarmist. But maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, people are going to be looking around being like, should we get Connor Bedard out of there? You heard it here first, folks.
We love that.
I would not do one about Seattle. God, Seattle's bad and boring, and they got nothing. They got nothing going on. Like, this is – I did not appreciate their expansion efforts at all. They happened to make the playoffs last year and beat Colorado. That was interesting, but I think kind of lucky. Oof. Who else we got here that sucks? The Islanders.
God. Okay.
All right, so the Islanders, Seattle, and the Blackhawks, that's three. Ottawa, four. What's a good fifth one here? Minnesota.
What?
We got nothing going on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Well, one for me out of just principle is the Leafs. That just goes without saying. Chicago's also on there for me. I'd say probably Montreal. I don't really
Yeah.
have any interest there. So that could be three.
We could get yelled at French on Twitter, though.
Ooh, you're right. All right, I rescind that. I would like to get in some French arguments. All right, I'll go with the Islanders with you. I think that's another fair one. Probably Winnipeg, I wouldn't really give a shit about, if I'm being honest.
At least they're good, though.
I guess. But I don't know. And then, yeah, probably Ottawa, number five. I just, yeah, ugh. I don't know. All right. Well, then, I mean, at least the top ones. I feel like some prerequisites, like gotta be have some cool younger players. I think cool jerseys is a big part of it too. I want my team looking good. I mean, Vancouver could be kind of fun. They have a good mix there of like good young dudes, and they have cool jerseys.
For now.
Also, did you? Just as a quick side note, we haven't really acknowledged this, but the Rangers, first team to 100 points and have are first place right now in the NHL, first team to clinch a playoff spot. Crazy.
We might have to begrudgingly say the Rangers are good.
Ay, God. If LA went back to any prior iteration of their jerseys before their current ones, I would say they would easily be up there too. Again, I just do not understand what they're thinking with those jerseys. Can when it's not even a nostalgia thing, just every past iteration of the Kings jerseys is better than the current one. Who else would be interesting? Who's like up and coming and fun? I mean, if they get Celebrini, maybe Anaheim could be kind of cool,
Yeah.
right? Switch back to the Wild Wing jerseys full time, then you got me fully on board. I don't know who jumps out at you as some potential good options. Who's got good
None.
vibes?
The New York Knicks.
The Knicks. Oh boy.
Florida, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I don't want anything good to happen to
They're
that
another one
state.
though. Wait, let's pause really quick. Would you agree also, Florida, every past it or like their 2000s and 90s jerseys, way better. The logo alone, significantly better than the current one, like the crest.
Yeah, the scary kitty.
The scary kitty. They called you that
Not a
back
whole
in high
talk about any
school.
of these bozos. I mean, maybe New Jersey if they could get their shit together, but they really have not been doing that. Columbus, just to witness
Yeah.
some misery, bear witness. There's a really good feature in The Athletic this week about Columbus's history, but pretty bad. Pretty
You
bad
don't
history.
say.
They talked about, I didn't know about this. In 2006, they fired their coach, who I don't even know who, man, could have been Gallant, maybe. Anyway, they fired their coach, and their GM at the time is like, asked if they want to bring in Ken Hitchcock, who's free. And he's like, I would never subject our young guys to a man like that, or something like that. Just something very personal and mean about Ken Hitchcock. A few days later, new head coach getting hired, Ken Hitchcock. And the Columbus Blue Jackets owner at the time was an old man, and I guess like a one of those kind of remote controlled wheelchairs and wheeled in front of the media, pointed past the GM and president, who I'm forgetting who it was now, directly at Ken Hitchcock and said, "That's the man who's going to save us."
Yikes.
And he made the playoffs once.
He did it. He
That's,
saved them.
yep, that counts as saving them more than Don Granato's done.
Yeah, it sure is. Can I ask you the real question that I had now, though, that since we got a little sidetracked?
Oh, yeah.
How concerned are you that it feels like Dylan Cousins is very, very line mate dependent, specifically Jack Quinn dependent?
Very concerned. They paid him a lot of money. I mean, the money they paid him last year made it seem like, well, he's going to be underpaid. And he was last year. But I mean, if this is what he's going to be like, it's a concern. This was a big topic on Twitter yesterday. Yeah, it's hugely concerning. Can he be your second line center? If he's line mate dependent, he should be your third line center. I don't know. He's a top 10 pick. It's clear since his rookie year that there's a lot of things he does well, but consistently producing is not one of them. And he's not good in his own zone. I don't know why. It seems so weird. He has all the skills to be good in his own zone, but they get killed when he's out there. And they have all 4 years he's been in the NHL.
Yeah, I think the optimist in me wants to believe that maybe he just, he's still in the early goings of his career. I know he's got, I think, like 270 games under his belt, but still early on enough, and he's still young. And I think that, again, optimistically, I'm looking at this, that maybe it's just like something for the time being now, that as he is rounding out his game and transforms into the player that he ultimately will be for the long haul, that he's like this right now. And maybe Jack Quinn helps him get to that point, but then that there will be a point that he's able to kind of transcend that and will be able to carry his own line and not be so line mate dependent. But until that happens, it's very, very fair to be concerned about. Or if it
Absolutely, yeah.
happens at all. I
Yeah.
think it just lends to the greater point, and feel free to speak about this a little bit if you'd like to. Granted, it's probably going to be one of, if not the main topic of the off season or talking point or whatever, but until they show me that they can get over the hump and can be a functioning, successful NHL organization, I am going to be pessimistic about pretty much every single thing that they do. And I think the majority of fans feel that way as well, and are well within their right to feel that way.
People should be mad. That's my opinion. People should start bringing tomatoes to the rink.
Ooh, just eating them like an apple.
Yeah, not throwing them. Don't throw them at the players. That'd be messed up. In a show of intimidation,
Yeah.
you go right up to someone you want to intimidate, whether that's an opposing fan, a guy that sits near you that you don't like. Like, I don't know. Say, let's take a guy named, like, just randomly a name, Denis. You go right behind the bench and get in Don Granato's face, like knock on the glass, and then just take a big bite of the tomato. Don't break eye contact. Go up to Terry Pegula's suite where he doesn't sit. Go up to Kevyn Adams. Just look at that and just go, hey, Kevin, have you considered making a big move this offseason? Take a big bite. Just chew it. You're looking at him. You might bite into the stem, bite the stem right off. Start chewing on that.
Oh yeah.
They're going to be
Juices
like, what
all
the
over
hell's
your
going on with this
face.
guy?
Yeah.
What are you doing up here?
Before you get security called on you, though, you take a couple good chomps there. Who
Yes.
knows?
Well, then what's security going to do? You turn and look at them,
And then
take
they're going to
another
probably
bite.
run away, actually. They'd
Yeah.
probably, if they have a gun, they'd probably give it to you.
Yeah. It's security. Everyone that works security or is an usher at the arena is old enough that they call it tomatoes, like it has an A at the end. And they're like, I used to eat a tomato like that back when I was a kid. It was considered a delicacy during the war. And then they forget why they're over there and off back.
Oh, we're gonna slowly descend into madness this off season. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we're gonna do another variety show type format. I just decided right now.
Good.
I'm not doing 25 off-season episodes about the Sabres or more. Oh my God, it's way more than that.
Way
Yeah, it's
more, way more.
almost 5 months before we'd end up doing previews. So we could talk about the playoffs a little bit while the playoffs is going on. But yeah, that's like, oh my God, no, that's more like 40 something episodes. Some of those are gonna have to be bullshit.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Hey, I thought of a great quiz you should quiz me on.
Give it
I
to
haven't
me.
looked any of this up. I saw this thing. It's actually a really cool graphic people post share around and reconfigure, and it's like the big whatever the last time each MLB team won the World Series. The one I saw is the number one artist in America the last time each MLB team won the World Series. And baseball's had a lot of recent winners. A lot of different teams have won recently. So there's a lot that are like recent. And pop music has not really changed. It's changed shockingly little in the past 15 years at the top. So a lot of Drake, a lot of Taylor Swift. But then you get past that, and there's some wilder ones like the Marlins won in 2003. And this is not just, it's not just music. People do different formats in here, the biggest whatever at this time. And then it gets, you know, there's a little bit of time separation there. And then it gets further down. And like, I think it's, the Reds haven't won since 1990. So that's when you get really into the past. The Tigers haven't won since 86 or 84. The Tigers won. The Mets haven't won since 86. And then like the Pirates won in 79. And then it goes all the way. That's always the funniest one is Cleveland.
Oh, won hell in
1948.
Yeah.
So like the music, I had no idea who the person was in the music one, the top musical artist of that year. But anyway, I thought you, I didn't look this up. It was just an idea I had. The last time each team won a Stanley Cup, who, what was the highest grossing movie that year?
Oh, I love that. All right, done. We'll do that for we'll do that for Monday then. That sounds great. That'll be our Monday episode.
That'll be the whole episode.
Just that. We're not talking about anything else. No, we are not talking about the Leafs game. As Jeff Skinner scores a hat trick again.
Oh my God. I hope so.
What do you think, Taylor? Any other thoughts?
Not really.
I agree. I agree. Well, all right. Do you have any recommendations?
I recommend everyone have a great weekend. You don't have to watch these two hockey games. But if you do, try not to get too mad because who cares? You know, someday we'll all be dead and it won't matter how many good hockey games we watched. All that'll matter is how many good movies we watched, obviously. That doesn't mean to recommendation. Love Lies Bleeding. Good movie. I enjoyed that a lot. Kristen Stewart movie directed by Rose Glass. Came out like a couple weeks ago, I think, but I saw
Didn't
it
you
weekend.
Recommend that on Tuesday?
No.
Wink.
I might have.
I think you did.
Ah, whatever. It's good. Double recommendation for
double recommend. Wow. That's like in the Sabres, straight up Sabres recommendations Hall of Fame. Getting an inadvertent double recommend in back to back episodes.
Oh man, I don't even remember recommending it.
I'm almost positive you did. I also could be
Sunday's episode
losing my mind. Yeah.
Oh, possible. Also happy birthday to my little cousin Sawyer.
Shout out Sawyer. Aw. That's beautiful. Well, happy birthday, Sawyer. Big Sabres fan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, sincerely, thank you for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're checking out both the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites. Whatever streaming platform you're currently using to listen to this episode, make sure you're checking out all of our fellow shows and make sure you're checking out the Charging Buffalo and the Hockey Podcast Network on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can also find us, Straight Up Sabres. And before you close out of this app, whatever you're using to listen to this episode, make sure you are either following or subscribe to us on your streaming platform of choice. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave us a nice rating or review. Last but not least, we have our wonderful sponsor, folks. That would be DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that promo code THPN at checkout to take advantage of great deals. We will be back with a brand new episode on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. This has been Straight Up Sabres.